This is you enough, and I'm here with my little ones, Aurora and North Star. And for our last history class, we are doing a Kaiju Wars project involving memories and an exposition that Opal Song put together, where basically they show us pieces of history records from the Kaiju Wars. And they try to see, like, we're exposed to them for a very short time, and then they ask us what we remember from them. And obviously, this is an exercise in memory, but also in how everyone perceives the story differently. And the pieces they show us will not necessarily reflect what actually happened or what we learned happened in the walls, but maybe they will. I know it will span from maybe mid-range wars onto the end, like all over the fall of the Great Wall and onto the victory. But it doesn't really get into the Reconstruction era, which was my parents' time. We are not allowed to take notes. We are not allowed to do anything. We just have to watch these media and remember them. So that's what I did. But I also tried to draw them after recording my things because I think that would be a better memory, and that's how I see it. So in this report, I will try to include some of these sketches as I do them. If you are only listening to the audio version, you might want to go to my essay to see some of these. So let's do this. The first thing they showed us was a picture. Tiny Ginny, Ginny Wesley, perhaps 7 years old. She's wearing bright orange overalls that are stained with grease, and she falls face to face with the chubbiest, slimiest, cutest little monster in the world, and kind of discovers a new species and makes friends with it. And everyone is equally horrified and amazed by the cuteness. And yeah, she's just playing with a monster in a tight space of gears. The second picture was made in mixed media. Think of it as a collaboration between inks and watercolors, but like very bright watercolors. You have Luna, who is covered in Kaiju junk. Blue, Kaiju blue. So she has her yellow hair that just frizzes everywhere with her big blue eyes that stand out because she had goggles on. So she's covered in, like, her face in front is covered in blue, but her eyes are clear because of the goggles. So she has this smile, you know, that smile, and just pleased and happy, and like she knew all along she was going to do it, but she's still very, very happy it happened. That Luna smile. It's the one we saw in all the history books, but it was still really interesting to see it live. I'm not sure if I can represent it well, though. The third media was actually a short documentary about Senator Hermione Granger. And it was very inspiring and kind of sad. So I remember it as Hermione at 14. Scrawny kid with a big head and just raising her hand in a class. And her notebook is filled with monsters and mecha doodles. And she knows what she's doing. She has ink stains on her hands. And the teacher is exasperated. And the rest of the class are all, you know, like you can see blurred shapes in the background. And they're either snickering or face palming or looking bored and distracted. Because she's so focused and so into it, and they are not that into it. And this is clearly a class like a science class, because there's like beakers and like, you know, a periodic table dans le fond de la classe. And so this is tiny teenager Hermione decides that she's going to save the world by understanding it. But then afterward, the picture I have is Hermione. She's looking at the stars, but she has like, she's holding all these charts, and some of them have like a weapon on them. But she's still looking at the stars in wonder. So we don't really know if she does plan to nuke them or not. It's still unclear. The fourth part was, again, about the Wesley's dynasty. I've talked about Ginny Wesley. And now we are talking about, we are seeing the twins. This was an animated hologram in 3D with colors. And it was a very strange, very artistic take. Fred and George awake at night. Each are like, they have side bunks. They have beds. Deux lits, comme jumeaux, in the same room. And they're each sitting up, and it's clearly the middle of the night. There's only a night lamp, in veilleuse, on the, so il y a une veilleuse à table de chevet qui les illumine, un peu en backlight, tous les deux. Puis ils sont shaken, comme vraiment upset, parce qu'ils viennent se réveiller d'un rêve. Et sur les bords de l'image, un peu en train de creep in, il y a des fragments de leur rêve, que c'est des rêves de douleur, de pain, avec du deep red, puis black and like neon blue tendrils slipping in. Que c'est des leftovers de leurs rêves communs parce qu'ils ont déjà drifté. Et qu'ils ne peuvent plus drifter. They can't anymore. Don't understand. Like, not for anything. Not for peace. And not until it's the very last thing that might save the world. Because they are clearly, like, PTSD. And this was traumatic for them. But they're still together and alive. I'm saying this because there was a lot of news clip accompanied with these from the Times, because I guess I thought that printed news went out of fashion in 1990, but apparently you still had them in 2000 something. So I don't really know that standings. So they had like these printed headlines about whether the Wesley dynasty had died out, or whether the Wesley twins, as they called them, were dead for so long. And it was apparently a big thing that people were very afraid of. So, they're still alive. They're still so alive. The next picture with them takes us into
this hangar warehouse. The hangar is cluttered with bits and crap. It's mostly a scrapyard, to be honest, but within walls. And things are falling apart. There are breaches in the wall. There's rust everywhere. And in a minute. And you have, I'm amongst the pile of scrap in the dusty red. You have two figures. Like you have, there's the light overhead that shines on this. And it's very grungy. But you have tiny figures, three tiny figures with bright yellow and red hair that are working on what, upon closer inspection, turns out to be a Jaeger robot that they're clearly handmade, that they've made themselves. This is Ginny at the bottom working inside, well, in the middle, like she's working at the heart of the Jaeger. Think Escaflowne type of heart, like a big jewel heart. And you have Fred and George each working around a hand of the Jaeger as if they are putting on a glove for it. And this is clearly, like, it's the middle of the night. You can see the stars through the cracks in the walls around them. And this is last-ditch effort, but they have to try. They have to do it.
The next one that we just saw was it was about Peter fucking Pettigrew, you know, the traitor, with a huge grin on his rat-like face, and he has his arms raised, you know, in the praise the Lord kind of picture, and this huge, I don't know, this maniac look in his face. And behind him, there are Jaegers exploding and the wall crumbling down. And it's basically a world of rain and fire. And he's just so happy to be there because he orchestrated this mess and just wishes for a kaiju, like, overtake. Right. So speaking of people surprising us, there's the beginning of the Harry Potter legend. So we start with, you know, this very famous photograph of Harry standing in the streets face to face with an alien and being softly backlit. If I was drawing this, it would be absolutely in pale shades of beige with red streaks reflecting on the kaiju's scaly muzzle, dragon-like. And the boy lived with only a faint scar for his showing, but no one really knows why. But it did become a symbol of hope. We still learn about this. What we don't really learn about is the relationship between Ron Weasley, the youngest of the Weasley dynasty, and Harry Potter. And, well, there was this whole biography about it, but what I really got from it was this image of teenagers, Harry and Ron, where Ron, like, they're back-to-back. Both of them are the same picture and they have the same color theme, but they're back-to-back. And the spotlight, the light source is falling on Harry, on Harry Potter. Well, Ron is in the shadows, but Harry has his eyes closed and is very sad because his parents died, poor dear. But Ron is looking forward and determined, and he's a grim look on his face because he's going to be a pilot. But his drift buddy is not on the same life track as himself for now. So they're together, but not. Facing each sides. In the Harry picture, Harry and Ron back to back, Harry is front lighted by flashlights from the media going on in the dark that look like stars. And they illuminate this Harry Potter who has his eyes closed, while Ron is the shadows. But you can tell that it is determined to turn over this war. And the last picture about the great Weasley twins, but also of this project, was that really famous one. There's quite a few famous ones, but this one was in a new frame. And it had really bright colors. And it was Fred and George embracing on top of a raft in the middle of the ocean. But behind them, like, the ocean is exploding as if a great, huge thing just fell into it, like crashed into it. Their little place is quiet, but they're hugging it out. But it's clearly not okay yet. And there's probably, like, the red of their hair, and there's red on their suits. And there's red in the water, but you're not sure if it's the sunset behind the wave or if it's more blood. And there's a lot of blue. And that too, is it kaiju blue? Is it water? And I think that was actually a really good way to end this, because it was a really good analogy between the sacrifice of war, but also the cost of war. And also, I think the victory and the loss all wrapped up together, and the hope and everything. So that concludes our project. I'm very happy to have been able to do it. I don't think I've remembered half of the things I was supposed to, but no matter. And if you've enjoyed this, I hope you leave me a good grade on wherever you've seen this project. And Yeah, thank you for Opposong who put together the exposition we saw, and to everybody who participated.